Hi, everyone. It's Kevin. It's been about a month since my last podcast with our medical directors, Doc Andrews and Doc Hurley, and the two of them have been on the front lines managing our efforts to help control the spread of COVID at EB, and they've put in a lot of hours over the last few weeks, along with their staff and the volunteers, testing our employees in Groton. And I can tell you that I think it's fair to say the two of you have conducted many hundreds of tests here in Groton, and we've got more testing going on in Quonset Point starting this morning, and which we'll go through about the middle of next week. So I want to say on behalf of all the folks here at EB, thanks for your personal commitment to getting this testing done. I've talked about testing in my podcast, but I'm no expert, and I think everyone will appreciate the perspective of our in-house medical experts. So Doc Andrews, Doc Hurley, welcome back to the podcast. To start, Doc Andrews, let's talk a little bit about our testing program so far. Can you give us a summary?
Sure. Thanks, Kevin. So to summarize, for those particularly that are not located in the Groton location, EB, we've offered the antigen and the antibody testing. We've offered it so far to everybody inside the gates at the Groton location. We've also done the subbase. We've encouraged employees that were working from home to come in for testing. So really, we have a pretty good sample population from the Groton facility so far. The testing took place over about a week. It was in Building 88, and it was under the tent on the wet dock. Detailed schedules went out to all the different supervisors to help facilitate the process. When each employee came down, they badge swiped, they registered, and then they could elect to have either the antigen nasal swab, the antibody finger prick, or they could have both tests. Almost everybody opted to have both tests completed, which was really great to see. The antigen nasal swab was sent to the lab, and the antibody finger prick was completed while the employees waited. Some of the employees were then directed to get a confirmatory blood test, which was done either in 88 or in the Yard Hospital. The testing went really smoothly in both locations. There were maybe one or two times that we had a little bit of a backlog or a log jam. But by and large, the system worked really effectively and was very efficient. After the Groton Yard was completed, testing, like I said, moved to the subbase. And then this week and next week, we'll be doing Quonset Point. From there, the testing will just keep moving from location to location.
Oh, great. Thanks. Hey, Doc Hurley, you know, we've talked a lot about these tests, and I've learned an awful lot about the science behind them, and I think people might be interested in that. Can you talk a little bit about the science in the various tests we've conducted?
Yes. Good morning, Kevin. There are three basic types of tests. The first is the antigen test. It looks to characterize viral material from the acquired sample. The sample or specimen is typically taken from the anterior nose or deep pharyngeal area. If you're truly infected with COVID-19 virus, know that the infected person secretes a lot of viral particles. In this case, the anterior nasal swab is sufficient. If you're early in the infection or have no symptoms, the deep pharyngeal test is slightly more accurate. Both tests are known as what we say is PCR testing or polymerase chain reaction tests. The nasal sample, when acquired, is sent to a reference laboratory where they amplify and look to detect the genetic material. And in this case, it's the RNA of the COVID-19 virus, which, if it's found on the test swab, will be apparent. Now, this test determines whether you have active infection. It's very accurate. The chance that there's confounding with former coronaviruses like MERS or SARS-1 or even some common cold coronaviruses is very slight. Thus, it's very specific for COVID-19 when it's positive. It does have some weaknesses. Most people don't like a swab stuck up their nose, thus the name brain swab. And it needs to be sent to a reference laboratory for processing, which can take 2 to 5 days to get the results back. Its strengths are that it can catch an asymptomatic individual and get them into quarantine before they propagate the infection to others. The second test is the serologic test. It's a finger prick or screening test which checks to see whether you might have had the disease and have developed antibodies to fight COVID-19. The antibody test looks for either IgM or IgG in your bloodstream. The IgM occurs early in the disease, and IgM presents later, often at the end. The test itself is what they call a lateral flow kit. A drop of blood is placed in the well and then covered with a buffering solution. It passes through a membrane and runs laterally along the cassette until it hits a control line and potentially two lines representing the antibodies. This is the same technology as a pregnancy test or a strep test. Screening tests are, by definition, usually easy and fairly painless, but they're not as accurate as a blood test. So, unfortunately, this is old technology but new to COVID, and the tests are only good for screening and still need to be confirmed if you receive a positive result. The last test is the confirmatory antibody test done with a blood draw. And this is considered the gold standard of confirming the presence of antibodies. It's not a good screening test as it requires a blood draw and then a reference laboratory to analyze it. So we offer it to employees who have a positive screening antibody test on the finger prick in order to confirm the presence of antibodies. Some of the confirmation tests will show that the person has the antibodies, while some will not show the antibodies, thus meaning that the finger prick test was a false positive.
Oh, good. Thanks. I appreciate that. It's interesting to hear the various technologies bringing that technology to EB, so we understand what it is people are experiencing when they get tested. So we've conducted quite a few tests so far. Doc Andrews, let's talk a little bit about the results that we've seen so far.
All right, thank you. First, it's really important to remember that the results do change daily, particularly as we at EB are doing more testing. So if you hear different numbers, that may be the reason why. So far, medical has completed just over about 5,000 tests. Most people had both tests completed. Some did choose to have either the antigen test or the antibody, but most had both. Of the 5,000 tests that we've done so far, we found only two individuals that were positive for the antigen. They did not know they had the virus, which means they were asymptomatic carriers. Both were quarantined and have done well. This helped stop the spread of the virus at its earliest stage. Less than 100 employees were found to have antibodies present, and most of the employees with positive antibodies were known or had known that they'd had active disease.
All right, thanks. Doc Curley, so 5,000 tests, a handful of positive cases of either type. So what do we think those results tell us about our population here at Electric Boat?
So statistically, the population that we sampled was large, and the results were adequate to guide the company as it moves forward in the pandemic. There are several take-home messages from the data so far. As Susan alluded to, we have a susceptible population. Greater than 99% of the tests were negative for COVID-19. So the message is that we need to plan and anticipate for additional cases, especially as the states reopen their economies. And secondly, the two people that we found would be classified as asymptomatic carriers. This means that only having two people acted appropriately by following CDC and state guidelines during this pandemic. They stayed home, they socially distanced, and they washed their hands.
Well, good. Couldn't be happier with the fact that people paid attention and really did follow the rules. So, Doc Andrews, let's talk a little bit more about that. We've gotten a few things right here. I think more than a few things right in terms of our response. What do these results tell you that we've done well?
Well, it's going to sound a little bit like I'm repeating Dr. Hurley, but what it does mean is that the number of infected employees is low. So it means two things. One is that there's a low prevalence in the part of Connecticut that we're working in. And two, that some of those safety measures that EB has taken, they're working. So EB continues to have teams that do investigations and contact tracing to help control any outbreaks at the facility. So that's something we've done in the past. We're going to continue to do that, particularly as cases arise. Plus, EB followed all the public health guidelines. And again, we talk about it, the social distancing, washing hands, wearing masks, and they appear to have actually been effective. We've also increased all the cleaning. That may be contributing to some of our success. It's impossible to say what single thing may be making the big difference. It would be nice to be able to pick one thing, but we can't. But in fact, it probably is all the small changes that EB as a company has made and that each individual person has made that seem to really be helping. So far, EB has successfully been able to mitigate the risk and mitigate the spread of the virus while continuing to safely protect the employees and safely continue on with our mission to protect the country, which is super.
Well, thanks. Doc Hurley, you know, a lot of people thinking about the future and what lies ahead of us here with regard to the disease, and as we start to see some relaxation in the lockdown that we've been through. So let's talk a little bit about what the results tell us about what might be in our future here.
So as the states relax some of the rules and we begin to transition back to a more normal schedule, EB workers need to double down on personal safety measures. And this is the time when employees may begin to get lax, but this is also the most important time to stay vigilant. As we all become more active, we in essence are increasing our interactions with others and multiplying our chances of contracting COVID-19. We as a community need to continue to model the behaviors that protected us for the past 3 months by being vigilant, wearing masks, social distancing, and hand washing. We need to remember the basics of staying healthy, especially as our risks increase. With summer just around the corner, we can all anticipate how uncomfortable wearing a mask might become. We know it might seem hotter or harder to breathe in masks, but there's really no easy solution. The virus will not take a break. There is little evidence that summer in and of itself will hinder the spread of the virus. And so all employees working in the heat will need to take breaks and definitely increase their hydration. Now, more than ever, we'll have to maintain our new healthy behaviors. And if we see an increase in cases in the next few weeks, we'll be back to performing investigations followed by contact tracing and even potential quarantine. COVID is not going away anytime soon, and we as a company and as individuals need to keep up all the good work that has made us successful to date.
Well, thanks. Appreciate that perspective. So let me ask you both, as medical professionals, what are your hopes and concerns about where society is moving with regard to COVID-19? What do we need to stay focused on, Dr. Andrews?
So my hope is pretty obvious. It's to control the spread of COVID. As the science catches up with the disease, we, as the medical community, will be able to really educate society, hopefully, to limit the transmission. The world, I think, really may have changed, but if we understand how the disease spreads and what we can do to limit that spread, then we can alter our behaviors, but still live the life that we want to live. Once we have enough testing and controls in place, then hopefully we can begin to move around without fear. I will be able to visit my parents. I want to go out to eat. I want to be able to travel again. Even if this means doing a little extra work or doing things differently, at least we'll be able to do some of those things. And I feel as long as everyone does their part, as we begin to understand more, then we should all be able to get back to doing what we do enjoy. I kind of am under the assumption that there will be a second spike of disease. But this time, we know how to quickly control the spread, and ideally, if we incorporate all our new normal activities into our day-to-day life, then maybe I will be wrong, and we can avoid the second spike altogether. We all need to continue to be vigilant with social distancing, hand hygiene, and masking so that we can enjoy life again. And I know that I am okay, at least personally, with the new normal that protects the greater good, including the people that are most vulnerable.
Oh, thanks, Doc. Appreciate that perspective. How about you, Doc Hurley? What do you think?
My hope is that we as a community will continue the behaviors that were successful in slowing the spread of COVID-19 until such time that there is a vaccine sufficient to create herd immunity. I hope this pandemic has taught us to appreciate public health and how events such as these tie us all together. We'll need to remember these lessons. Public health experts have predicted a pandemic for over 2 decades. We were overdue. we lucked out in the sense that the death rate in developed countries is probably going to be under 2% when all is said and done. But what if the next pandemic has a death rate like Ebola? The average was 50% with a range of 25 to 90%. Further, it's thought that COVID-19 will probably be around for a while, years. So we'll have to get used to and adhere to this new normal. That having been said, the pandemic has been a tremendous disruptor of the status quo. I believe we as a people will benefit long-term from many of the innovations that were born out of necessity created by this pandemic.
Well, thanks. I appreciate that from you both, and in the midst of testing, to share your thoughts on the current COVID situation with everybody who's listening. And thanks to those listening for taking to heart the wise words of Doc Andrews and Doc Hurley so we can continue to recover life as we know it as safely as possible. So I appreciate everybody who tuned in to listen, and please stay tuned. We'll continue to keep you updated as we fight through this disease together. Thanks again, Docs.
Thank you.
Thank you.